Krishna Book, Canto 18, The Rajasuya Sacrifice, Chapter 74, Scene 5, Crazy Shishupal. In that assembly, King Shishupal was also present. Shishupal was an avowed enemy of Krishna for many reasons, especially because of Krishna having stolen Rukmini from his marriage ceremony. Therefore, Shishupal could not tolerate such honor to Krishna and glorification of his qualities. Instead of being happy to hear the glories of Krishna, Shishupal became very angry. When everyone offered respect to Krishna by standing up, Shishupal remained in his seat. But when he became angry at Krishna's being honored, Shishupal stood up suddenly and, raising his hand, began to speak very strongly and fearlessly against Lord Krishna. Shishupal spoke in such a way that Lord Krishna could hear him very distinctly. "Ladies and gentlemen, I can appreciate now the statement of the Vedas that after all, time is the predominating factor. In spite of all endeavors to the contrary, the time element executes its own plan without opposition. For example, one may try his best to live, but when the time for death comes, no one can check it. I see here that although there are many stalwart personalities present in this assembly, the influence of time is so strong that they have been misled by the statement of a boy who has foolishly spoken about Krishna. There are many learned sages and elderly persons present, but still they have accepted the statement of this foolish boy. This only means that by the influence of time, even the intelligence of such honored persons as are present in this meeting can be misdirected. I fully agree with the respectable persons present here that they are competent enough to select the personality who can be first worshipped. But I cannot agree with the statement of a boy like Sahadev, who has spoken so highly about Krishna and has recommended that Krishna is fit to accept the first worship in this sacrifice. I can see that in this meeting there are many personalities who have undergone great austerities, who are highly learned, and who have performed many penances. By their knowledge and direction, they can deliver many persons who are suffering from the pangs of material existence. There are great rishis here whose knowledge has no bounds, as well as many self-realized persons and brahmanas also, and therefore I think that any one of them could have been selected for the first worship because they are worshipable even by the great demigods, kings, and emperors. So I cannot understand how you could have selected this cowherd boy, Krishna, and have left aside all these other great personalities. Why, I think Krishna to be no better than a crow. How can Krishna be fit to accept the first worship in this great sacrifice? We cannot even ascertain as yet to which caste this Krishna belongs or what his actual occupational duty is. Actually, Krishna does not belong to any caste, nor does Krishna have to perform any occupational duty. It is stated in the Vedas that the Supreme Lord has nothing to do as His prescribed duty. Whatever has to be done on His behalf is executed by Krishna's different energies. This Krishna does not belong to a high family. Krishna is so independent that no one knows His principles of religious life. It appears that Krishna is outside the jurisdiction of all religious principles. Krishna always acts independently, not caring for the Vedic injunctions and regulative principles. Therefore, Krishna is devoid of all good qualities. Indirectly, Shishupal praised Krishna by saying that Krishna is not within the jurisdiction of Vedic injunction. And this is true because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Krishna has no qualities means that Krishna has no material qualities. And because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He acts independently, not caring for conventions or social or religious principles. Under these circumstances, how can Krishna be fit to accept the first worship in the sacrifice? Krishna is so foolish that He has left Mathura, which is inhabited by highly elevated persons following Vedic culture, and has instead taken shelter in the ocean, where there is not even talk of the Vedas. Instead of living openly, Krishna has constructed a fort within the water and is living in an atmosphere where there is no discussion of Vedic knowledge. And whenever Krishna comes out of his fort, he simply harasses the citizens like a dacoit, thief, or rogue. Thus ends Chapter 74, Scene 5, Crazy Shishupal. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. The following are notes on this section. The great commentator, Sridhar Swami, has analyzed the words of Shishupal as follows. The term Gopal means not only cowherder, but also protector of the Vedas and the earth. Similarly, Kulapangsana has a double meaning. Shishupal intended it to mean the disgrace of his family, which is its meaning when divided as above. But the word may also be analyzed as Kulapangsana, giving a totally different meaning. Kulapam indicates those who prattle with crooked words contrary to the Vedas. And Angsana, derived from the verb Angsayati, means destroyer. In other words, Shishupal was actually praising Lord Krishna as He who vanquishes all misguided and frivolous speculations about the nature of the truth. And similarly, although Shishupal wanted to compare Lord Krishna to a crow with the words yatha kaka, these words may also be divided into yatha a kaka. So in that case, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word kaka is a combination of the two words ka and aka, which indicate material happiness and misery. Thus, Lord Krishna is akaka, in the sense that Krishna is beyond all material misery and happiness, being on the pure transcendental platform. Finally, Shishupal was right in saying that Krishna does not deserve merely the Purudasha rice cake offered to the lesser demigods as a substitute for the heavenly beverage Soma. In fact, Lord Krishna deserves to receive everything that we possess, since Krishna is the ultimate proprietor of everything, including our very selves. Thus, we should give Lord Krishna our life and soul, and not merely a ritualistic offering of rice cakes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the inner meaning of the words Shishupal used to show how Shishupal continued unintentionally to glorify Lord Krishna and the Yadu dynasty. Even though the Yadus were cursed by Yayati, they have been relieved of this curse by great saints, and consequently they have been raised to a position of royal sovereignty by such persons as Kartavirya. Thus, they have become absorbed in Pana, protecting the earth. So considering all of this, how does Krishna, the chief of the Yadus, deserve useless worship? Rather, Krishna deserves opulent worship.
He Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite, He Nanda Suna Kutta. Sri Govardhana Kalpa Padapachale, Kalindi Vanne Kutaha. Goshanta Vichi Sarabato Vrajapure Kedair Maha Vibalao Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyagao Sri Jiva Gopalakao Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyagao Sri Jiva Gopalakao.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Jiva, and Sri Gopal Bhatta, who were chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan. And they were shouting, O Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan? Or are you under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you? These were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness.